Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Ann, and Melissa. Today's topic is trusting your gifts. So what we're talking about is, you know, you've got some spiritual gifts and maybe you have started developing them, maybe not, but what you're not sure of is whether they're true, whether the information you're getting is right, is accurate. And ladies, we've all been there, haven't we? I mean, I think at some point in your journey, we're all there.
Yes, we have.
I do think maybe Nostradamus was very confident in his skills from day one, but he's a different story. He was a bit of an egomaniac. So, but most people, though, have those doubts. And I know for myself, the first thing I thought was that I was going crazy. And so that was how I didn't trust my gifts, is I was seeing astral beings. I was seeing beings from other planets, dimensions. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, I'm going crazy. Are you surprised?
I think that's a common thread that we see.
Yeah. Sometimes there'll be times when every day I'm having this discussion with clients. And I know we ladies talk about this a lot, not only amongst ourselves, but here on the show, because it's very disconcerting when you're first seeing things you've never seen before, right?
It's like you feel like you're hallucinating, or, you know, something really weird is going on. I used to think I must be getting sick when I was a kid, when I'd be seeing all these strange things. I'd be thinking, am I getting sick?
And one thing I love about your story, Roz, is how when you would start to receive psychic information, your mom would say, Roz, you're getting dizzy. I think about that and it makes me laugh.
I know cute. I must have had this look on my face because I was definitely out there, you know, and watching. It's like I was watching a PowerPoint, you know, I could see all these different things.
So. No, I had that and my mom would say, wake up, you're daydreaming again.
I think probably all of us who are highly intuitive and receiving, you know, signals and information all the time, we must appear to be daydreaming in school, you know, for sure. Gotta be.
Yeah, and everybody said, get your head out of the clouds, right?
Yep. Ooh, out there somewhere.
Oh my goodness. That was so interesting. For a minute there, Terri-Ann was talking, but her lips weren't moving.
I know. Wasn't that strange?
Ventriloquist training.
Well, my phone before I got on was taking pictures of myself.
I can't quite hear you.
It. Yeah, I think maybe messing with her signal.
I guess so. I can't hear her. So let's talk a little bit about realizing we have gifts, and if you can think back on it, what led to coming to a place of some confidence for you that you could rely on the information you get?
Well, I think some of that has to do with your ability to get some confirmation, because I always felt like my when my information would be coming in, a lot of times it was about situations, events, and other people that really didn't have anything to do with me. But I wasn't always comfortable to mention things. But, you know, by the time I was like in middle school, high school, people would be asking me questions, you know, about what I envisioned, what I saw, what was coming, etc. And it was pretty ironic because I would, you know, be able to get confirmation back very quickly, you know, other kids would be going, yeah, that I saw that, it happened. So, and, you know, it alters your perception of information that you're getting. And of course, I mean, I didn't discuss all the time with people things I saw, but I definitely foresaw events and things happening. And by the time I was in high school, you know, it would almost always be confirmed because somebody would say, you know, that happened. So
that's nice. I was too shy especially about my gifts to ask people, like, hey, until I was an adult, and I can remember some incidences where a person I knew well, I was having very vivid dreams about their husband dying and their husband being very ill and all this stuff. And I finally thought, I don't want to ask them, but I thought, well, what if they don't know they're very ill? What if I bring this up to them, he can get some tests done and find out. And so I mentioned it to her and she's like, oh yeah, he's got cancer. You know, he's got cancer and it's not looking good. And so you don't know. I mean, there's plenty of times where you're going to pick up information or have dreams about people you don't even know, or people you barely know, or you know through somebody else. So it can make it a little tricky to get that confirmation. And Tyrion, I don't know if you heard this because I know you had to log out and log back in. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, you might have to turn off your video and just leave your audio. It'll improve your signal. So Tyrion, what we were saying was we're talking about moments when we realized that we weren't trusting our gifts and how we found that, how we felt more confidence about it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you guys know my story. You know, when I first was meditating on that mountain and said, I heard go see Roz at Sedona Soul Sisters, and I saw the portal open over Thunder Mountain over there, and I thought I was losing my mind.
I just laughed because of the way you came in the office and said as much. You weren't holding back.
Yeah, it was one of those first things that, like, seeing spirits for me was always different, and I probably always saw interdimensional beings and all that, but I didn't fully understand until that moment. Like, and I share a lot of times because, you know, we're given messages. Even before that, I had the messages about the number and the markers in your parking lot, but I couldn't understand what that meant. Until they said go see Roz, and then months later I happened to be driving the other way and I saw the mile mark at 6781 at the end of the parking lot, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I love that story. I absolutely love that.
That's
story.
A great story.
I'll never forget that one. I think for me, one thing that really helped was keeping a journal. And in that journal, because I have a lot of predictive dreams, and I started keeping a journal of the day, the time, what I dreamed, as many details as I could remember, because it's very hard to remember everything you dreamed. I dream a lot and they're very vivid, like movies. They always have been. And when I was little, I'd call that my other life. My mom would be like, what other life are you talking about? But I meant that one because it was so real. Yeah. So when I look, like, things will happen and it'll jog something in my mind, like, hey, I think I wrote something about that. And I'll look back and see, oh yeah, there's that dream. That's another way to get confirmation. If you have those kinds of insights, it doesn't have to be dreams. It can be, I know all of us will just be going about our day and suddenly you're getting this download of information, psychic information about something in a full waking state. So however you receive it, it's just good to keep track of it, because whatever the confirmation might come down the road and you won't remember exactly what it was you saw or heard.
I think one thing that's really helpful for people is what you were just describing, keeping a journal. Because when I used to teach intuition development classes for people, that was one of the things that I had people do, was keep a journal for the length of the class, which was usually a couple months, maybe 3 months. And it would be amazing. And I would always tell people, you're going to be shocked when you see how many things you get before they happen. How many, I mean, small things, large things, and you're going to realize that you have this whole stream of information coming through all the time through your subconscious mind while your conscious mind is, you know, doing everything else that goes on in the world. And it would always shock people when they looked at how many times they realized someone was going to call them, how many times they thought of someone they hadn't seen for a really long time and then they ran into them, you know, how many times they would just be watching television and it's something that they were envisioning happens and is being talked about on the news. So it's really powerful for you because it confirms not only, you know, that you have this gift, but that it's on all the time. I mean, you have to make, you know, definite effort if you want to try and turn it off. You have to learn how to do that.
And it could be hard to recognize it because I know for myself, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, that sometimes my precognitive dreams are frightening and somebody might have that and think it's a nightmare. 2 weeks ago, I had a dream I still can't get out of my head that I'm in a bus and I'm on this mountain pass with a bunch of people I don't know. And suddenly the land across this gorge is just disappearing. It's just sinking down, gone. And I see it happening around the bend and the bus driver keeps driving. And I think, oh my God, I'm going to die. Well, I should give some comfort to these people. So I'm like touching these people, trying to like calm them. It's okay. We're just going to pass, you know, but it was so vivid. And I've been trying to think like, where was I? The closest thing in this area that reminds me is Jerome area, like going over Migas Mountain, but it wasn't. And it probably wasn't me, you know, in my dream, I was in the bus, but it probably wasn't really me. So you have these dreams and it could just be frightening, disturbing, but write them down anyway, because many times those dreams are precognitive and you don't get to pick and choose the information you receive in a waking or sleeping state. You get what you get, right, girls?
Yep. And it's also important to remind myself sometimes I'll have a very vivid, I never used to dream at all. You know, but in the last few years, I've had just some amazing dreams and it will be very vivid and very graphic. But when I look at it subsequent, when I wake up, I began to realize, no, wait a minute. I can feel this is talking about something else, but it's shown to me in a format of allegory, kind of like it's not the exact graphic dream, but it's describing events that are coming. And that's the feelings that I have about it. And I can tell very frequently that I need to concentrate on these events that I'm being shown are coming to help energetically shift the way things are going. So, you know, I mean, it would be easy to fall into a pattern of fear when you're seeing these things, but you have to realize that you have the energy to change some of these things too. I mean, there's a tremendous number right now worldwide of visionings, prayer and affirmation sessions to help change some of the things that we're seeing that we're not comfortable with, that we're not happy with. And I think that's a lot of what some of these dreams are portraying too. Now, your dream specific, you know, to riding in a bus, and that's kind of different than what I'm describing.
I think that's another thing where the journal really has come into play for me, because I've been doing that for about 30 years now, maybe more. And So I've noticed over time, there's some recurring themes to my psychic dreams that help me sort out which ones are meaningful and which ones are maybe anxiety based or something about, you know, a more symbolic, you know, just a normal dream. So a couple of the things, and I'm going to tell you this in case it's true for you. One of the things is that everything seems extra vivid and that there's like the scene hovers on meaningful moments and conversations to like, make sure I really get it. And there'll be this piece of paper that spins up and lands right in the center of the screen for me that has a word or words on it, or sometimes it's a newspaper cover, and it just stays there till I get a really good long look at it. And I'm like, that's how I know for sure. Okay, this is a psychic dream. I need to wake up and write this down. But I know that's not true for everybody, but I'm just giving you some instances, some examples of things that are true for me that you can look for yourself, of recurring things that are in the dreams that turn out to be true. So, or meaningful, or about your clients or whatever it is, about yourself, about your family. Because sometimes it can be hard to sort those out, especially if you're like me and you have those super vivid movie dreams that, you know, if they're all vivid, but there's some qualities to my psychic dreams that are different, where now at this point, I'll know, I'll wake up and I'll be like, okay, that's a psychic dream. I'm going to write that down in detail. But that's one of the things that just helped me get a grip on it and be like, all righty, this is for real. Did you want to say something, Terry Ann?
I was going to say, I often get a lot of words in my dreams. So like you were saying about the newspaper, I will hear or see a word, and it's often a word I've never heard before. And I'm always amazed when I go look it up and what the definition of it is.
Yeah, I think that could be very important as well, for sure. Anything that helps you figure out what's going on and trust it, kind of like, I just have to say, like, that is a big part of what intuitive training, when you learn to start training your intuition, that's what you're doing, is going through exercises that build trust, that you start really getting strong and confident about your information, however you get it, whatever your gifts are. What if it's a healing gift? You know, how do you trust that your healing gift works? Well, using it. That's what made me trust it. What about you, Terry Ann?
Yeah, I think so. For me, like, you know, especially with all the movement we've had with the business and moving on the road short term now, to trust that'll all be okay without having. So before, I was very type A personality, but having to let go of that and trust that we would be okay with the information that I was given, that we'd be able to do it, that we'd have food to eat, that we'd have money for gas, and all these things that sometimes our human concept is like, well, all these things could go wrong, so this is why I shouldn't do this. But the information is coming through and you're receiving this information that you should do this. And so sometimes I think it is that battle between your human self and your spiritual self, and trusting that, like Roz always says, everything's working out for our highest and best. You're given this information and you are to follow it. And when you do follow it, I think it helps you then to see further. That's what helped me to trust. So if they told me to, you know, go to see Roz, and everything worked out so well with meeting Roz and you and Melissa, and I trusted that, and then going forward to the next, you know, time they gave me some information and I followed it and it worked out. So just, you know, paying attention to what that is, going with it, even though it's scary, it's out of your comfort zone, and then seeing, yeah, this is what happened when I trusted my intuition.
And it helps too that it was your son in spirit form telling you to take your life out on the road, you know, because you already trusted him and loved him so much. And it's the same with your angels and guides. Like, if you're getting the information from them, how do you trust that? By following it and seeing what happens, right?
Exactly. But it can be scary. I have to be honest. In the beginning, I was like, oh my gosh, like, how is all this going to work out? And Tim's never going to sell the business and all this stuff. Why it couldn't happen. And it worked out beautifully. And when I was being called, it was funny because a few months ago, I knew that we'd be going back to Sedona in September, but I hadn't said anything to anybody. And I kept saying to Tim, I feel like we're going to be called back in September. And he's like, I don't want to go back in September. But I'm like, we're going to be called back in September. And so things kept happening to push us back in September. So here we come back in September. So it's funny again that, you know, I had this feeling we'd go back early, but I didn't know, you know, was that me wanting to go back early or were we being called back? But following that, being open to whatever that meant for us. Does that make sense?
It does. And you can go back out on the road if you want to. That's the nice thing. And now you know that Anthony was totally on the money with this and you can do this and you could go out on the road and have some adventures when you want to. So now you can do it and feel very secure about it.
Yes.
Well, the idea of, you know, having that faith and the feeling that you have, the clairsentience, you know, like the realization that, okay, there's nothing in my conscious world, in my logical world, telling me this right now, but I'm going to go with, you know, with my gut instinct and my clairsentience, and I'm going to start packing or, you know, whatever you're going to do, whatever you're feeling that's going to happen. And I think the other thing to think about too is, you know, every time you take those steps where you make these tremendous acts of faith, it does just suddenly there's clarity. Suddenly, boom, you know, you're doing the right thing. You know, unfortunately, you know, in our world, we have a lot of people who tell us all the reasons a lot of times that we're not doing the right thing. So we, you know, we have to get balance with that and realize that, you know, sometimes you just have to put it out there to the world and say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I know I have to do it. So.
And that's how it was when my angels and guides told me, now you need to move to Sedona. You're going to start doing this work full time under your name with your face out there. I'm like, oh, it's like fingernails hanging in the door jamb. I don't know about that. And I thought, okay, it's going to be fine because I've got some long people who have been in Sedona for decades, you know, kind of pioneers of Sedona who are dear friends, like family, another couple that is great friends. Well, guess what? That couple passed away in the few months before I moved here. And the other couple, they split up and moved out of state. So by the time I moved here, I didn't know anybody. Now, let's not get too crazy. The truth is I'm from across the mountain range. So I have friends in this general area, but I didn't know anybody here. And I was by myself and I was coming out of a crazy situation and I was nervous. You know, I was over 50 and starting a new career and a full-time career. I've done this secretly throughout my mental health career and part of my radio career on the side. But by that time I knew that my angels know what they're talking about. And if they were so adamant about, I need to do this, that I needed to do it. And that's it. And so I did. And I was a little nervous, but I felt secure that everything was going to be okay. Well, I met Roz and then we were able to start this business. And then we met Terry Ann and Melissa and, you know, that would have never happened. We wouldn't have Sedona Soul Sisters, I don't think, if I hadn't moved, if I hadn't listened to my angels. And this work's more meaningful to me than anything I've ever done. And I've loved all my careers. So that will give you confidence and trusting. So whether it's your own gifts, whether your gift is a connection to angels, whether your gift is dreams, whatever it is, you know, it's just paying attention to it and seeing the results of what you're receiving.
I think the synchronicities as they appear too. I mean, if you're not getting confirmation from any other source, you're getting it from your guidance in the format of these amazing synchronicities that start occurring. And it, those are, I have to say that, you know, they're pretty mind blowing.
They are.
You know, it, I look back on some periods in my life when I had, you know, when I just was literally feeling like I was being pushed to just go, just do it, just go forward. You know, you can't sit around. You know, I can remember those times thinking, you know, yeah, okay, I'm doing it. You told me I'm doing it, but so you guys better help. That could be scary.
It can be, but you know, it's kind of funny because, and I wanted to talk to Terri Ann about this and hear what you have to say. So Terri Ann, did you know that you were a healer before you took Reiki?
Yes, I always felt so. I was raised Catholic and we had the laying of the hands, and I always felt there was a tremendous ability in me to be able to touch people and do some sort of healing, not understanding what that was. And I was introduced to Reiki when my boys were little, but I did not have time to invest. I had three babies under three. I didn't have time to invest in myself at that time. So now go forward, my life goes on. They start growing up. I get pregnant at 40, have this baby who's sick. Well, now I'm getting the guidance more, and you need to go to Reiki and you need to be get into this business. And not so much at that time was it supposed to be a business for me, but it was for me to help to heal Sophia. So I feel like I always knew I was some sort of healer. I was always attracted to, and I still am, herbs and medicinal herbs and herbs in the garden and teas and stuff like, so I always had that attraction. My grandmothers, I watched them growing up making salves and teas and stuff like that. So that attraction for me was always there. And so inherently, very organically, I was guided that way, but I didn't listen. So I had to, like Ross said, sometimes be pushed. Well, now you have to follow that path. And I think for me, that was a turning point too, to be able to see it now. Okay, this is what it is. And not too soon after that, things started opening up with the moving to Sedona and how things changed in our life. I really feel like Sedona, out of a lot of places, plays a huge role in who we are to become. It opens us up in a way that I don't think we can find in another place. And we say it all the time, people are called there or they're called away and we don't know why. I love it there, I don't want to leave, I've heard people say. So yeah, for me, I was always that very much a healer.
I did not know I was a healer. I didn't know I was healing. And I think back to, and there's a reason I'm bringing this up, but in 92, I started working at a psychiatric hospital. It was my first job in mental health. And we had a thing called a code green. And that meant that somebody was, a patient was being violent, and everybody who was available would rush to wherever the location was and restrain them. And right away, like the medical director, almost the first time it happened, he's like talking to me, said, talk to them. And I just started talking to them and they started calming down. And after that, he's like, your job is to talk to the person. I don't want you doing restraining, just talk to them. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I must be good. I'm just good at calming people down. But I didn't realize, like, I had my hand on the side of their heads as I'm holding them and touching them and looking them in the eye and just calming them down. 2 years later, my angels guided me to take Qigong energy healing. And the first class, my instructor's like, you have a real gift for this. Like, you could do this for a living if you want. And I started thinking back on that. That's why I was good at that, was because my energy was calming. And then the words, my voice and the words, I knew what to say to calm that patient down. But that was like what it took to confirm for me that I had a healing gift, was getting connected with medical Qigong and working on a lot of people. I worked on thousands of people over the years. I wish I could still do more of it now, but my back will not let me do that at this point. But healing people, and especially people who thought it was voodoo, you know, that's just voodoo. And then you healed something that they haven't been able to heal. So that not only are it's not about showing them or proving to them that you can do something, it's about showing yourself and convincing yourself that you have this ability, because you want, when you know you have it, whatever it is, you want to share it. You feel more open about sharing what you got, and you got it for a reason, whatever your gift is.
Sometimes when we have the capability to do things and events happen and we can't utilize that capability at the time, like in your situation now, and I've met some other people with very similar situations, it's because the time is not right for that somehow. You know, we all have, I mean, really, when you sit down and look at your gifts, there are a lot of different things that we can do. I never was exposed to Reiki until, you know, the last maybe 10 years of my life. I mean, occasionally I would hear the word, but it really didn't mean anything to me, because I'd always just sent energy with my hands and I could see it. I could see the energy going out. I started doing distance healing many years back. But it's, I think we have these amazing abilities and we don't always have to utilize them in a form that is specified. We just have to trust it and go with it. And Qigong is, you know, mind-boggling how it works. And the people that do it and do it really well, like yourself, you know, this is an amazing ability, but it's also a huge energy effort on your part to do it. And sometimes we just have to move forward and heal with our own energy and not be in those specified formats that demand maybe more energy than our body has right then.
I think for me, like taking the, I did do Reiki and medical Qigong, and doing that all these years, what it did is waken me to being a healer. But you can be a healer and never touch a person. You can be healer and just help them through talking to them. A healer is a healer forever. You know, that's something you don't lose. But there was one other thing I was thinking about that's important for really building confidence and trusting your gift. Don't listen to what other people say. If those other people are not high frequency, if they're not knowledgeable about these gifts, if they have preconceived notions or prejudiced about it, like sometimes there's religious beliefs that think some of the things that we do are evil, which is so bizarre to me because God and the angels are involved, but nevertheless, it's there. So you have to only listen to yourself, your angels, and the people who understand what you're talking about, the people who understand the topics, because anybody else is going to, if those other people will intentionally or unintentionally undermine your confidence at a very deep level. And it happens to a lot of people, and it can keep you from stepping into your gifts, keep you from sharing with other people, or even lead to you sort of stifling them, pushing them down and denying them. I know for me, the hardest thing was to, there was people I loved very much, but I needed to ask them to please, I don't want to hear your thoughts on this anymore. You know, I know what I'm doing. I'm confident this is the path for me. And they get it now. For the most part, they get it. So you have to follow your own intuition. And if you look outside of yourself for the answers, they're not there in very few. Okay, they can be there if you're completely lost and you find a spiritual teacher who's going to help you. But just the general public, the answers are not there. The answers are inside you. They're inside you, tracking what's going on for you and paying attention to what happens around you afterwards. You know, there is a little bit of effort involved in following this up. And if for those of you who, and this is probably the most common thing, really want to develop your intuitive skills, and everybody's got them to some level, I'd say go for it. I think that's one of the things that opens up the whole world to you in spirituality, with gifts and exploration and all the wonderful unexplained mysteries out there, is to develop your intuition and see how far you can take that, because it has nothing to do with you becoming a psychic, professional psychic, or doing readings. If you want to, great, but it has to do with you getting better, clear intuition for your life, about yourself, about the people in your world, the things that matter to you. So I think anybody in this world can benefit from that.
True.
Absolutely, because it helps them, right, in their relationships. It helps them in their career. It helps them with everything they're doing when they're fostering, meeting people, or working in a meeting setting, in a business setting. Having that intuitive ability to have that feeling, whether you're capturing the room or whether you're not speaking to your highest, you know, or to also be able to ascertain what the other person. So in a relationship, if your intuitive abilities are open, you're able to ascertain whether that other person maybe has good intentions or not when it comes to you, right? We're able to then see, you know, does that person have my highest and best at their heart, you know? And if they don't, then we know that we could walk away from that. But I think a lot of times people are scared, like they get the information, but then they think, well, now what do I do with that information? Like, I know he's not good for me. So, but now I have to make a decision about that, right? So a lot of times that's scary. And I understand that, because I've been there too, and I was getting the information and I didn't listen to it. You know, we've all done that. We laugh about it because everybody thinks, oh, well, you're psychic, you should know. Yeah, I think I did know to an extent, but I just didn't want to hear it, right?
You know what you hear, and you know what you want to do. Yeah. And sometimes those paths are very diverse. Let's just say that. But that's another thing. Like, I do think, I know for sure, as I developed my relationship with my angels on a very conscious level over the years, I came to a place where I completely trust the words they say to me, what their guidance they give me. Same thing's true for your own inner guidance. You know, it takes time developing it, tapping into it, paying attention to it. And eventually you come to a place where you do what your intuition tells you, not what you want to do all the time. And it's not easy, is it, ladies?
No, that is one of the most difficult things, to really allow yourself to flow with what you're getting in terms of your process and what you should be doing when you don't want to. Said the person who was dragged back here kicking and screaming.
I'm glad you were.
I'm glad too. But I really, you know, that's just one example, of course. But I mean, there have been many times I can remember back, you know, when intuitively I knew I should do something, and I was just resisting that, and probably overanalyzing, you know, because I used to be actually a lot more analytical than I am now. Now I've just go, okay, I'm going with it.
You have really come to an amazing place with that, Roz. I know you have.
I do have to agree. Yeah. I have a very analytical, logical mind. So the first, you know, 30 to 40 years of my life was an argument between my psychic subconscious mind and my logical analytical mind. That argument was going on a lot.
Mine too, because at 18, I was made very aware of my gifts and my path, and I denied it. I pushed it away. I said, nope, not doing that. Not doing that. And every 10 years, like another 10 years, like it came up again. And so
they just keep, you know, I feel like my guidance has been wonderful and so true in helping me overcome my own resistance. And I can be my own worst enemy in my life.
And I think we all can.
Certainly remember, you know, them bringing up something and really, I call it nagging me to do something, to go a certain direction, to say something. And I can resist and resist and resist. And then, you know, very gently, it comes around the exact same issue, different circumstance, same issue, you know, until I finally just gave it up. And I just roll with it now. I really do. Maybe that's a factor of old age, and I like it.
Maybe. I know the thing that makes me think about is that we have free will, and we have that means we have the ability to make choices for ourselves. And that includes that we have the right to make a decision other than what our intuition's telling us, or our angels are telling us, or our dreams or anything are telling us. But it could be a big mistake. And I'm here to tell you, I'd love to testify for you how bad that can go. And I felt like I had to test that twice, apparently. So I'll be glad to help you out if you need to hear that. But the other thing I wanted to say was, when it comes to your gifts, and if you are doing readings, you want to do readings, you want to take this professional, something that really helped me, and I just, this popped into my head when I was training with Suzanne Wilson to be a medium. And she said, you're pretty much ready to go, but I want you to do 4 or 5 practice readings for free with people around the world. So I did 44. And why did I do 44? Because it took that long for me to believe it in my heart. People were telling me, my sample readings were telling me that was great. I loved it. It was great. Yes, I'd be happy paying for that. Because I'd always say, but would you pay for it? Yes, I would pay for it. Do you want me to pay you? No, this is practice. But it took me that long for it to really sink into me and for me to say, okay, I'm ready. It's great when somebody else tells you you're ready, but you have to feel ready. Yes. And then I was still scared. I was so nervous those first few readings I did, maybe for 6 months, I was nervous, really, really nervous about it. And now I'm really not. And how do you get there? Doing readings and people telling you, yes, that's right. Yes, I understand what you're saying. Yep, that's my dad. Yes, that's my daughter. You know, yes, that's how they died. You know, whatever the things there that you're confirming, and I'm just talking about mediumship in this instance, but this is true for any gift you have. Nothing gets you to that point of trust and confidence like practice. Doing it and doing it until you feel you're ready. However, some little birds need to be pushed out of the nest. So I have had some students who have done lots and lots and lots of practice readings and they're still stalling. And I'm like, that's it. I'm assigning you. You need to do a paid reading in the next 2 weeks. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. No. But then they're fine because they're ready. You know, I know it. And I gave them plenty of time. And, you know, a year or 2 years later, you're still stalling. Then you're just cheating yourself. So any last thoughts either one of you have about this?
I think we covered it well.
I feel like we covered it. We tucked it in and kissed it goodnight.
Yes. And on that note.
And on that note, if you have questions about today's show, you can email them to us at any time. That email is in the show description on the platform that you're watching or listening to this on. Tune in next Friday when the topic is the Secret Space Program. It's going to be very interesting because 2 of the Sedona Soul Sisters have some direct connection to that. So we're going to hear some personal stories and we're going to discuss what this is. And maybe it's so secret you never even heard of it before. So tune in next week. And in the meantime, have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.